بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وأما الأحاديث فالأول أن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم، إذ طلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد سواد الشعر، لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد، حتى جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتي ووضع كفيه على فخذيه وقال: يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله، وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. قال: صدقت. فعجبنا له يسأله ويصدقه. قال: فأخبرني عن الإيمان. قال: أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر، وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره، إلى آخر الحديث. As we mentioned, this is the chapter on muraqabah, that is developing the consciousness and awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is a raqib, Allah is conscious and aware, Allah sees everything that we are doing. The first hadith in this chapter, Imam Nawawi rahimullah has brought, is a very, very famous hadith. This hadith, amongst the scholars of hadith, is referred to as hadith of Jibreel. That is the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam. And Imam Qurtubi rahimullah is referred to this hadith as Ummu Sunnah. Ulama say, just as Surah Fatiha is regarded as Ummul Quran, that is the mother of the entire Quran, that is the meaning of Surah Fatiha is such that the and meaning of the entire Quran is condensed and found in Surah Fatiha. Likewise, ulama say that like the relevance of Surah Fatiha to the rest of the Quran, this hadith to the rest of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith is referred to as Ummu Sunnah because concisely the entire deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the entire deen of Islam is found explained in this one hadith. So obviously, for our purposes, we are not going to go into such a detailed explanation as to the various aspects of the hadith. But suffice to say that if somebody wanted to know, that listen, tell me in a few sentences, or explain to me in a few sentences what Islam comprises of, then you will find that all that is found in this one hadith. The narrator of the hadith is Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he begins the hadith in the following way. He says that one day we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a person came. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, contrary to other ahadith, he begins first the description of this person. He says this man was dressed shadidu bayadi thiyah. His clothing was extremely white. His hair was pitch black. There were no signs of journey upon him. And none of us recognized him until he came and he sat right in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he sat in such a manner that his knee was touching the knees of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he placed his palms on the thighs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he said, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Up to this point already, we can gauge the importance of this hadith. What is happening? First of all, look at the intelligence of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a living embodiment of that hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اتقوا فراسة المؤمن فإنه ينظر بنور الله. He said, fear the inner wisdom which Allah blesses a mu'min with. فإنه ينظر بنور الله, because he looks with the noor of Allah. That is, Allah Ta'ala gives those who are close to him and those who develop their iman a special intelligence, special insight, special understanding. And a glaring example of that was Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In fact, ulama have enumerated 15 occasions In the life of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his interaction with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Umar radiallahu anhu gave a suggestion, or he mentioned something, and then after the suggestion, or after the opinion, or after what Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned, Quran came down, wahi came down in conformance with the suggestion of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. 15 times this occurred. So we can see what great intelligence he had. Now look at his description. He says a man comes. First thing, he says his clothes are very, very white. In other words, very clean. His hair is pitch black. There's no sign of dust. Now try and envisage Medina Munawwara is a desert, surrounded by desert. Somebody makes a journey. A stranger enters Medina. Obviously, his clothes are going to be disheveled. The signs of journey. La yura alayhi athar as-safar. He says there's no sign of journey upon this man. So, if somebody travels in the desert, his hair is going to be full of dust, his clothes are going to be full of dust, his clothes are going to be wrinkled, there's going to be sign of journey upon him. Here, a person is coming, absolutely clean, no sign of journey. So, obviously, he should be a resident of Medina. He should be someone from amongst us. He just came from home. But, what does Umar radiallahu anhu say? La ya'rifuhu minna ahad. No one recognized this man. In other words, he was not a resident of Medina. He had come from outside, but this man came from outside and there's no signs that he has traveled upon him. So already, the curiosity of Sahaba is piqued. That who is this stranger? No sign of journey, it definitely came from outside. How did he come and he's still so clean like this? What became even more, what piqued the curiosity even further, is that now this person approaches Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam unlike others. He comes and sits right in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Touches his knees to the knees of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Places his hands upon his thighs and then he says, Ya Muhammad. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, La taj'alu du'a rasuli baynakum ka du'a ba'dikum ba'da. Once some Bedouins came from outside Medina Munawwara, they stood outside the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, they addressed this Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly by his name. Straight away, Jibreel was sent. La taj'alu du'a rasuli baynakum ka du'a ba'dikum ba'da. That do not address the Rasul like you address one another. Allah prohibited us from addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly like that. Sahaba were prohibited. This is contrary to the maqam, status, dignity and honor of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you should address him directly by his name. Say, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Nabi Allah. So this prohibition was known among Sahaba. Now this person has come, he's addressing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam directly, Ya Muhammad. Why did all this take place? This is a muqaddama, an introduction, in order to pique the curiosity of everyone, to make them realize the importance and the relevance of what is about to occur. Explanation of this ulama give, as we know, first and foremost, was that this person was Jibreel Alayhi Salam. He was not a human being, he was an angel of Allah. In fact, the main angel, Jibreel, he had come in a human form. We find that this malaika coming in a human form, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا, referring to when Jibreel came to Maryam alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam in a human form, the famous incident of the birth of Isa alayhi salam. Likewise, in Badr, in Hunayn, in other expeditions, malaika used to come down in a human form. Jibreel himself brought wahi, brought revelation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama say how many times in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Jibreel come? It is mentioned 24,000 times. 24,000 times Jibreel came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In various forms, often he would come in the form of a very handsome sahabi whose name was Dahya Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. On this occasion, he did not come in the form of Dahya Kalbi. Why? Because Umar says, La ya'rifu minna ahad. No one recognized him. So he came in the form of a human being, but someone that no one had seen before. That is the first thing. Second point is this address, Ya Muhammad, addressing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam directly by his name, which is against the injunction of Quran. Ulama explained that this injunction was directed towards human beings. The malaika of Allah were excluded from this injunction. Jibreel had a special relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, I have two ministers in the heavens, two ministers in the earth. My two ministers in the heaven are Jibreel and Mikael, and my two ministers on this earth are Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We find from amongst all the Sahaba, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a special relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One thing that explains this, for example, it was the practice of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba say, Jullu nadrihil mulahada. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his robe, his countenance, the nur that would come from his face was such that no one could look directly at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, his humility was such that he would look down. Whenever he would look up, he would just slightly look up at someone and continue looking down. Nadruhu ila al-ard atwal min nadruhu ila al-sama. His gaze towards the earth was more than up. In other words, his humility. Today we look around everywhere. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would look down. If he wanted to see someone, he would just glance and he would look down again. They say among Sahaba, there were only two Sahaba that would look directly at the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Coming back to this, another important lesson we learn is the respect that a student should show his ustad, his teacher. At the end of this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that Jibreel had come to learn and he had come to teach the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in this particular instance, Jibreel is the student, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the teacher. So look at the humility of the student. He sits in attahiyat position, in tashahud position. He sits with humility. He sits with his knees touching the knees of his teacher. He places his hand on the thigh of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, humbling, lowering himself. So in this is ishara that if you want to acquire the knowledge of deen, then you have to show respect, you have to show humility to the one who is disseminating that knowledge to you. Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to say, I am the slave of the one who has taught me anything in deen. He may purchase me, he may sell me, he can do whatever he likes with me. Why? Because that is the respect I will give to the one who teaches me anything in deen. So if you want barakat in our knowledge, if you want barakat in whatever we are learning, then we have to show respect to the one who is disseminating that knowledge to us. Shall we continue this one?